Seventh objection. All verities of divine knowledge cannot be encompassed in any one book. Therefore, how can it be expected that imperfect books can guide a person to perfect enlightenment? Answer. This objection would be worthy of attention if, on the basis of his reason, one of the Brahmo Samajists were to put forward some new verity relating to the cognition of God, or another matter relating to the hereafter, which is not mentioned anywhere in the Holy Quran. In that case, the Brahmo Samajists could claim with great pride that all the verities relating to the hereafter and to the recognition of God are not comprised in the revealed book, and that such and such verity is left out, which they have discovered on their own. If they were to do so, then they might succeed in misguiding some ignorant persons. However, the Holy Quran clearly and explicitly claims that مَا فَرَّتْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Part number 7. Footnote. Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 39, and footnote. That is to say, no verity relating to divine knowledge which is needed by man has been left out of this book. Again it is said, يَتْلُو صُحُفًا مُطَهَّرَةً فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ. Part number 30. Footnote. Surah Al-Bayyinah, chapter 98, verse 3-4, end footnote. That is to say, the Messenger of God recites holy scriptures comprising all perfect verities and knowledge granted to people of the earlier ages and those of the latter days. Again it is said, كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. Part number 12. Footnote. Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 2. End footnote. Meaning that this book has two qualities. The first is that the All-Wise One has set it out in a firm and well-argued manner, that is to say, in accord with wisdom and not merely as a story or tale. And secondly, it details all the essentials of knowledge of the hereafter. Again, it is said, إِنَّهُ لَقُولٌ فَصْلُ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. Footnote. Surah At-Tariq, chapter 86, verse 14-15. End footnote. That is to say, this book resolves all of the contentions that might arise regarding the knowledge of the hereafter and is not just useless or vain talk. Again, it is said, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا لِتُبَيْنَ لَهُمُ الَّذِي اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Part number 14. Footnote. Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 65. That is to say, we have revealed this book so that the differences that have been created by defective reasoning and by interpolation or omission may be removed and the straight path might be indicated for the believers. There is also an indication here that the mischief that has been wrought by differences in human compositions can be set right only by the divine word. In other words, the disorder created by vain and erroneous texts can only be corrected by the word that is free from all defects. It is obvious that he who has been misled by words can be brought to the straight path only through the divine word. Mere indications contained in the law of nature cannot settle textual disputes, nor can they fully convince the misguided one of his error. For instance, if a judge does not record the pleas of the plaintiff, nor counter the objections of the defendant with strong arguments, how then would it be possible that the parties should discover the answers to their questions, objections, and pleas merely through the hints contained in his judgment? And how can a final judgment be propounded on the basis of confused hints which do not completely satisfy either side? In the same way, the commandments of God are established to the satisfaction of his servants only when he informs them, through his perfect and truthful speech, of the diverse types of false notions into which they have fallen due to the erroneous statements of people, and makes them aware of their misguidance with a reasoned and clear statement, so that if they do not mend their ways, even after being informed and do not give up their error, they should deserve to be punished. Would it be just on the part of God Almighty that he should seize a person as an offender and be ready to punish him without first disproving his pleas of innocence through a clear statement and removing his doubts through his unambiguous word? He has also pointed towards the same in another verse. Hudallina siwa bayyinatin minal huda wal furqan. Part number 2. Footnote. Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 186, end footnote. This means that the Holy Quran has three qualities. First, it guides people to the knowledge of the faith that they had forgotten. Second, it sets forth the details of such knowledge as it had been stated somewhat briefly in the past. Third, it gives the decisive verdict concerning matters over which differences and controversies had arisen, and thus distinguishes between truth and falsehood. Again, concerning this comprehensiveness, he says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. Part number 15. Footnote. Surah Bani Israel, chapter 17, verse 13, end footnote. Meaning that all knowledge of faith has been explained in complete detail in this book, and it identifies the means and teaches the perfect knowledge which should lead man not only to partial progress, but to full development. Again it is said, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبِيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. Part number 14. Footnote. Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 90. End footnote. Meaning that we have revealed this book to you so that every religious verity might be explained clearly and this perfect discourse of ours might prove to be the means of guidance and mercy for those who submit wholly to Allah. Then he says, Alif Lam Ra. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Part number 13. Footnote. Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse 2. End footnote. Meaning that we have revealed this magnificent book to you so that you may bring mankind out of every kind of darkness into light. This is an indication that the Holy Quran removes every kind of doubt and misgiving that passes through a man's heart. It eradicates all kinds of corrupt thoughts and bestows the light of perfect divine enlightenment. That is to say, it bestows all the insights and verities that are needed for turning towards God and believing in Him. Again, it is said, مَا كَانَ حَدِيثُ يَتَرَى وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَقْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Part number 13. Footnote. Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 112. End footnote. This means that the Quran is not a book which could be composed by man. The signs of its truth are patent, for it establishes the truth of previous books, meaning that with its coming, it has proved true all prophecies relating to it that were recorded in the books of past prophets. And the Quran also provides arguments in support of true doctrines, arguments that were lacking in those scriptures. It thus perfected their teachings and testified to their truth in such a manner as to establish its own truth as well. The second sign of its truth is that it sets forth every religious verity and states all those matters which are necessary for perfect guidance. This is a sign of its truth, inasmuch as it is beyond the power of man that his knowledge should be so comprehensive that no religious verity or the most subtle of religious truths should be left out of it. To summarize, in all these verses, God Almighty has clearly stated that the Holy Quran is comprehensive of all verities, and it is this very magnificent argument which supports its truth. Centuries have passed after this claim of the Holy Quran, but no Brahmu or anyone else has come forward to contest it. Therefore, it is obvious that without presenting any new verity that might have been left out of the Holy Quran, to put forward baseless false notions like the insane is strong proof that such people do not desire to seek the truth like the righteous. However, to please their nafs-e amara, the self that incites to evil, they are seeking ways whereby they should somehow be freed from God's holy commandments, or rather from God altogether. For procuring such freedom, they turn away from the one true book of God, the truth of which is as evident as the shining sun, and they neither discuss any matter in the spirit of decency, nor listen to anything said by the other side. They should be asked if anyone has ever presented a religious verity in challenge to the Quran, and found no convincing answer from the Quran, when for the last 1300 years, the Holy Quran has vociferously claimed that all religious verities are comprised in it. Then how vile is that, without a test, such a grand book should be held to be defective? And what kind of arrogance is it neither to admit the claim of the Holy Quran nor to come forward to refute it? The truth is that though the name of God does occasionally come upon their lips, their hearts are full of the filth of materialism. Even when they just start a religious debate, they do not wish for its logical conclusion and try to stifle it as soon as possible, lest the truth should emerge. And such is their brazenness that they sit in the comfort of their homes and try to deprecate this perfect book, which announced in unequivocal terms, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. Part number 6. Footnote. Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 4. End footnote. That is, today, having revealed this book, I have perfected religious knowledge to its height and have completed all my bounties upon the believers. Gentlemen, have you no fear of God? Will you go on living like this? Will curses not be cast upon your liar's face one day? If indeed you possess some great truth which you think you have acquired by sweating blood, working tirelessly, and doing research into the minutest details, and which you believe the Holy Quran has failed to mention, I beseech you to leave everything else and bring that verity before me, and I will show you that it has already been present in the Holy Quran. But of course, in such a case, you must be ready to embrace Islam. If you still persist in your skepticism, and you do not stop your nonsense, and refuse to engage in direct debate, then what can I say, other than, may the curse of Allah be upon the liars? Beware, O you who are bent on telling lies, do not ruin yourself by being so shameless. How long would you bear enmity towards the elect of God? Would you ever be ashamed before the Lord of the world? When something has been proven to be excellent, it would be foolish of you to find fault with it. If you are suspicious of the righteous, people will know that you yourself are of wicked nature. If you call a bright shining pearl dull and dusty, your poor and weak-sightedness will be exposed. Foul, meaningless, and indecent talk shows only the wickedness of the evil ones. You only know how to tell lies, nothing else. But when truth prevails, falsehood cannot flourish. You do not remember the peerless God and have fallen in love with this despicable world. Why should anyone else love this world, when one day he will have to suddenly depart from this transitory abode? The end of this worldly home is nothing but grief and pain. True men are not deceived by its vials. Do not let your heart be polluted with this filth, like the mean, for the time to stay here will not last long. The day of judgment is nigh, so pride not yourself on this earthly life. Do not be deceived by the glitter of gold, silver, and wealth, for all wealth will perish at last. We did not bring anything into the world, nor shall we take anything away. Empty-handed we came, and empty-handed we shall depart. Do not turn your face away from the friend. A single hair of the beloved is more precious than the whole universe. You cannot find your way to God, for whom we are ready to lay down our lives, unless you follow Mustafa, the Chosen One. Abul Qasim, the Holy Prophet, is the sun of the universe that has illumined the heavens and the earth. How could man prove superior to angels if there had not been a person like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you not ashamed of God, you who are wise and respectable? Yet you do not believe in that prophet who enlightens the eyes of reason. Neither have you freed yourself from error and negligence, nor have you marched forward in the norms of humanity. You cannot do the work of God. Do not dispute it out of ignorance and obstinacy. Do not regard God as imperfect and dumb, like inanimate objects, and do not forget that He is perfect. It is you who are imperfect and mean-natured, so do not accuse the Holy Being of imperfection. Your absurd thoughts have ruined you. You have voluntarily walked up to a well and fallen into it. Your thoughts are plunged into pitch darkness like a dark night, and are also covered in 100 veils of malice. Do not be happy like thieves upon the arrival of night. Rather, fear and remember the day of punishment. If you fly in the air like birds, if you walk on water, if you come out of fire unscathed, if you turn dust into gold through alchemy, you will still not be able to destroy the truth, so you better stop talking nonsense like the insane and the drunk. He whom God has made a radiant sun cannot be turned into worthless dust by your efforts. O wretched one, do not torment yourself in vain. That which is destined to grow cannot be diminished by your machinations. It is the season of spring, and the gentle breeze is playing with the rose and the jasmine in the garden. The fresh spring air, fragrant with Rosa Canina, is scattering its scent all around. But you, O foolish one, are still languishing in autumn, and all your leaves have withered away, like one who is destitute. Why do you attack the Holy Quran out of enmity? Have you not seen any goodness in the Holy Quran? Had not this word, the Holy Quran, been sent to the world, no trace of Tawheed, oneness of God, would have remained therein. The world was immersed in pitch darkness. It, the Holy Quran, illuminated each and every country. It has shown the path of Tawheed. You came to know the peerless God through it. If you do not believe it, look at the plight of your elders. Look at their faith and beliefs with impartiality. He indeed is wicked and of mean origin, who rebels against his benefactor. Do not try to fly higher than you can. If you have no knowledge of medicine, do not practice it. Rest assured, this faith of Islam is God's work. Human schemes have no part in it. By the grace of God, this is a noble faith. It has nothing to do with fraud, deceit, or coercion. Its light shines as bright as the sun. You must be blind if you cannot see it. Because of the impurity of your heart, do not harbour suspicions, but if you have any clear argument, put it forward. Show interest with heartfelt love, then witness the omnipotence of the mighty Lord. Choose a party from among your own people, so that we can all reach a settlement. The grace of the exalted God is with us. We do not fear the adherents of falsehood. Divine grace has stirred my heart so forcefully that I wish to break the chains that hinder every seeker. The doors of the beneficence of God are open. The fragrant breeze of his favours is blowing. How can he who violates equity and justice dare to face the truth and rectitude? The word of God, with all its glory and majesty, always brings the face of the shameless to disgrace. Of what value is the opinion of man who has been vanquished by his own selfish desires? Purity of heart and sharpness of insight are two valuable traits that always work together. When we pour the elements of purity into our hearts, we mingle it with the ink that flows from the eyes. God created you out of a handful of dust and provided you with the bread, lest you perish. He himself provided you for your every need and mercifully opened wide the hands of his generosity. And how do you repay his favour? By claiming to be equal to him in your own estimation. How can you consider yourself equal to God? Woe upon such intellect, thought, and reason. When God casts someone into the pit of disgrace, we cannot get him out of it with our own effort. We can only render our best efforts. The result will always be what God desires and deems appropriate. Eighth objection. It is disrespectful to suggest that God speaks to man. What relationship can subsist between the mortal and the eternal and ever-existing? What resemblance can there be between a handful of dust and the eternal light itself? Answer. This objection is also baseless and absurd. To shatter it, it is enough to understand that the benevolent and the gracious has inspired the hearts of perfect human beings with untold zeal for his cognition, and has drawn them so powerfully to his love, affection, and devotion that they have been lost to their own selves. To propose in such a case that God would not desire to converse with them would be tantamount to be saying that all their yearning and love is in vain, and all their zeal is one-sided. However, one must stop to think that this notion is utter nonsense. Can a seeker of the One who bestowed upon man the capacity to win nearness to him, and made him restless with his own love and yearning, be deprived of the grace of converse with him? How can it be that, though it is right and legitimate and in accord with God's majesty that his creatures should yearn for him, love him, and lose their whole being for his sake, yet it should be impossible, illegitimate, and contrary to his majesty that he should bestow his revelation upon the hearts of his true lovers? Man's plunging into the limitless ocean of God's love and stopping nowhere in that pursuit is conclusive evidence that man's wonderful soul has been fashioned for the complete cognition of God. Thus, if it is fashioned for the cognition of God, but is not bestowed the perfect means of cognition, which is revelation, it would have to be said that God did not fashion it for his own cognition. Even the Brahmo Samajis do not deny that the soul of a right-natured man is hungry and thirsty for the cognition of God. Hence, they should now realize it themselves in view of the fact that a man of pure nature naturally seeks to attain cognition of God, and it is established that the perfect means of attaining it is divine revelation and nothing else. In this scenario, if such a means are impossible to attain, and rather to seek them is disrespectful, then God's wisdom would be open to the criticism that he bestowed upon man zeal for his own cognition, but he did not bestow upon him the means of acquiring it. In other words, he afflicted man with hunger, but would not bestow upon him enough bread to satisfy his hunger. Or that he afflicted man with thirst, but would not bestow him enough water to quench his thirst. Wise people can readily understand that this concept amounts to belittling God's immense grace. Considering that the all-wise God has tied the ultimate bliss of man to beholding the rays of the divine light perfectly in this world, so that due to its irresistible attraction, he is pulled towards God, how can one imagine that such a benevolent and merciful being does not wish to lead man towards his cherished good fortune and natural goal? Strange indeed is the logic of the Brahmo Samajists. Ninth objection. The belief that God sends down his word from heaven is utterly wrong, for the law of nature does not confirm it, nor do we ever hear a voice coming down from above. Revelation is the name given to the thoughts which arise in the hearts of wise people by the use of reflection and observation, and that is all. Answer. A truth which is self-evident and has been observed by countless men of understanding with their own eyes, and the proof of which can be found in every age by a seeker after truth, suffers no harm by the denial of a person who is bereft of spiritual insight, nor the thinking or defective knowledge of a person whose heart is wrapped up in coverings fails to confirm it. Moreover, the truth cannot be considered as being outside the law of nature because of the idle talk of such people. Consider, for an instance, that the case of a person who has never seen a magnet and is unaware of a magnet's power of attraction. If he were to claim that a magnet is only a piece of stone, that he has never witnessed any such power of attraction in any stone, and therefore, in his opinion, it is wrong to assert that a magnet has such a power, for it is contrary to the law of nature, then would his vain assertions cast any doubt on the well-established quality of the magnet? Certainly not. All that his assertion would prove is that he is absolutely stupid and ignorant and considers his own lack of knowledge to be a proof of the non-existence of a reality and does not accept the testimony of thousands of people who have experienced it. How can we possibly lay down as a general condition for the laws of nature that they must be personally tested by every individual? God has created the human species with great diversity in their external and internal faculties. For instance, some people possess a very good eyesight, while others have weak eyesight, and some altogether are blind. When those who are weak-sighted find that those with good sight have perceived a thing from afar, for instance, they have sighted the crescent, they do not deny it, rather they think that their denial would only humiliate them and expose their weakness. The blind, of course, are totally incapable of saying anything in such a matter. In the same way, those who possess no sense of smell believe it when hundreds of trustworthy and truthful people speak of good smell or foul odour. They do not doubt them at all, for they know well that so many people do not tell lies and must be speaking the truth, and that without a doubt it is their own impaired sense of smell that prevents them from experiencing these scents firsthand. Likewise, human beings also differ with respect to their inner faculties. Some are weak and covered in the veils of their egos, while there have always been others who, due to their lofty and pure nature, have been receiving revelation from God. For those who are weak and covered in veils, to deny the personal characteristic of those who possess a lofty nature would be the same as if a blind person or one with weak sight were to deny the observations of one with excellent sight, or as if a person congenitally lacking the sense of smell were to deny the experiences of one who possessed a sense of smell. The ways to disprove such a denial are the same in the spiritual realm as they are in the physical realm. For instance, if a person who is congenitally bereft of the sense of smell denies the existence of good and foul smell and asserts that those who claim to have such a sense are liars or mistaken, then he can be persuaded to admit his mistake in the following manner. He should be asked to select a few pieces of clothing and rub some with perfume and leave others untouched, and then test the sense of smell of a normal person, so that by repeated experiments he would be convinced of the reality and existence of the sense of smell, and that indeed there are people who can distinguish between that which is fragrant and that which has no smell. In the same way, a seeker after truth can be convinced of the existence of revelation through repeated observations. When hidden matters and secret mysteries, which cannot be discovered through reason alone, are disclosed to a recipient of revelation, and when a revealed book is found to contain wonders which are not to be discovered in any other book, a seeker after truth is convinced that divine revelation is an established truth. If such a person possesses a pure nature, he himself, by treading on the right path, can, to the extent of the illumination of his heart, experience divine revelation, like the Awliyaullah, friends of Allah. Thus he learns of Wahiyya Rasalat, divine scriptures, at the level of Haqqul Yaqeen, true certainty. In this regard, I myself take the responsibility of satisfying any seeker after truth who shows his readiness to accept Islam with heartfelt truthfulness, sincerity of faith, and an unblemished spirit of obedience. And if anyone doubts my word, let him come to me in all sincerity, for Allah has the power to grant what I say, and He is the helper in every matter. To think that revelation is nothing other than the insightful ideas that occur to the human mind as a result of deep thought and deliberation is also the product of inner blindness and ignorance. If human thoughts were the same as divine revelation, then surely man would be able to discover unseen phenomena through his own reflections and observations. It is obvious that no matter how wise a person may be, he cannot disclose anything hidden by merely reflecting on the matter. Nor can he exhibit any sign of divine power, nor can his speech exhibit any of the special characteristics of the divine. Even if he thinks himself to death, he still cannot discover the unseen, which is beyond his reason, observation, and other senses. Nor can his discourse be so lofty that no human power is able to match it. Thus there are enough reasons for a wise person to conclude that whatever a man might think, good or bad, as a consequence of his own reflection or observation, cannot be the word of God. Had it been the word of God, every door to the unseen would be open to man, and he would be able to foretell all that the only God can tell with his divine power, inasmuch as it is necessary that the work of God and the word of God should manifest the glorious signs of the divine. However, if someone has doubt in his mind about the source of beneficial or harmful schemes, deep insights about good and evil, clever thoughts and ideas that flash into the human mind as a result of reflection, and how by thinking about such a problem a solution suddenly comes to mind, the answer is that such thoughts are khalqullah, the creation of Allah, and not amrullah, the command of Allah. There is a subtle difference between khalq, which is creation, and amr, which is command. Khalq denotes that God Almighty produces something through physical means and attributes it to himself because he is the cause of all causes, whereas Amr is that which proceeds directly from God Almighty without any intervening cause and cannot be attributed to any cause. Thus divine revelation descending from the omnipotent God proceeds from the world of Amr and not from the world of Khalq. All other thoughts that arise in people's minds in consequence of observation and reflection proceed entirely from the world of Khalq, in which divine power operates behind the veil of means and human faculties. An elaboration of this point is as follows. God has created man in this world of means, equipped with diverse powers and faculties, and has subjected their nature to such a law of nature, that is, has invested them with the characteristic that when they employ their thoughts in good or bad matters, their minds alight upon appropriate plans. Just as with respect to man's external faculties and senses, it is the law of nature that when a person opens his eyes, he can see something, and when he directs his ears towards sound, he can hear something. In the same way, when he concentrates his thoughts on achieving a way of success, regardless of whether it is for a good or evil purpose, some plan will arise in his mind. The pious man directs his thoughts to good things and finds good ways, whereas a burglar reflects his own craft and invents novel ways of carrying out burglary. So just as people are inspired with extraordinary and ingenious ideas when carrying out evil designs, in the same way when they employ their time on thinking of goodness, they come up with wonderful ideas of the same kind. And as bad thoughts, however deep, subtle, and enchanting they may be, cannot be called the word of God, in the same way his self-invented ideas which he deems to be good are not the word of God. In short, whatever good thoughts occur to good people, and whatever bad thoughts and designs arise in the minds of thieves, and robbers, and murderers, and adulterers, and forgers, as a result of reflection and observation, are the product of exercising natural powers and faculties, and because God is the cause of all causes, they are called Khalqullah and not Amrullah. These causes are as intrinsic to man as the qualities to induce purgation, constipation, or other properties are natural to some plants and herbs. Thus, as the omniscient God has invented other things with various properties, so has he invested man's power of reflection with the quality that it helps him whenever he requires its help in a good or bad design. A poet who seeks to satirize someone finds his mind working in that direction and he is able to produce such poetry. Another poet seeking to praise the same person has commendatory verses come to his mind. Such good or evil inspirations cannot be reflection of the special will of God, nor can they be considered his work or word. The holy word of God is the word which is entirely above and beyond the capacities of mortal man. It is replete with the qualities of perfection, power, and holiness. The primary condition for its manifestation and descent is that all human faculties of the recipient, such as reason and insight, should lie totally dormant, as though he were like a corpse. All means should be cut off, and God, whose being is actual and real, should cause his word to descend upon someone's heart by his special design. Hence it should be understood that as the light of the sun comes only from the heaven, and cannot be reproduced inside the eye, in the same way the light of revelation descends only from God and by his will and does not arise from inside a person. As God truly exists, and as he truly sees, hears, knows, and speaks, his word should also descend from the self-subsisting and all-sustaining God, and not that the thoughts of man should be considered to be the word of God. The good or evil thoughts that well up from within us are only those that dwell within us to the extent of our natural capacity. But how is it possible for God's limitless knowledge and boundless wisdom to be confined within our hearts? What greater blasphemy could there be than for us humans to think that all the treasures of God's knowledge, wisdom, and mysteries of the unseen are also present in our hearts and surge up therein? This would be tantamount to claiming, in other words, that we ourselves are God, and that besides us there is no being who is self-subsisting and possesses divine attributes, who should be called God. For if God truly exists, and his unlimited knowledge is special to him alone, of which our hearts cannot be the measure, then how utterly wrong and absurd would be the claim that our hearts are filled with God's limitless knowledge and all the treasures of his wisdom dwell therein, as if God's knowledge is limited to that which is contained in our hearts. Please reflect. What is this, if not a claim to divinity? And how is it possible that the heart of man should comprehend all the excellences of God? Is it permissible that a particle of insignificant and uncertain existence should become the sun, whose existence is firmly established? Certainly not. Certainly not. I have just stated that the attributes of the divine, like his knowledge of the unseen and the comprehensiveness of the subtle manifestations of his wisdom and other signs of divine power, can certainly not to be shown by man. God's word is that which is characterized by God's greatness, God's power, God's blessing, God's wisdom, and God's uniqueness. Thus, all of these conditions are found in the Holy Quran, the proof of which I shall, God willing, set forth at its proper place. Hence, if the Brahmo Samaj still deny the existence of such revelation, which comprehends matters relating to the unseen and other matters pertaining to divine powers, they should study the Holy Quran with full attention, so that they should come to know that in this holy word surges a whole ocean of the unseen and the matters that manifest the power of God, which are beyond human power. And if they are unable to discover these Quranic excellences themselves due to lack of vision and insight, they should read this book of mine with open eyes, so that they might discover as a sample some of the treasures of knowledge about the matters relating to the unseen, and of the divine secrets with which the Holy Quran is brimming. They should also know that the existence of divine revelation that descends directly from God and comprehends matters relating to the unseen can also be proven in another way that is open, and it is that God Almighty always creates such people from among the Ummat-e-Muhammadiyya, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are firmly established on the true faith, receive revelation from God and disclose such matters relating to the unseen, the disclosure of which is not within the power of anyone except God, the one without any associates. God Almighty bestows this holy revelation upon only those believers who truly believe in the Holy Quran as the word of God and act upon it with truthfulness and sincerity, and who believe in Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, the chosen one, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as God's true and perfect prophet, who is the most excellent and superior and more exalted than all the prophets, and is Khatmur Rasul, the seal of the messengers, and accept him as their leader and guide. Such revelation is not vouchsafed to others, be they the Jews, Christians, Aryas, Brahmins, etc., but rather has always been vouchsafed to the perfect followers of the Holy Quran. It is vouchsafed to them now, and will continue to be vouchsafed to them in the future. Though the descent of Wahiyya Risalat, divine scriptures, has been cut off and is no longer needed, the revelation that is vouchsafed to the sincere servants of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, will never be cut off. This kind of revelation serves as a grand proof in support of the truth of Wahiyya Risalat, such that it puts to shame and humiliates every denier and adversary of Islam. As this blessed revelation, with all its blessing and honour and greatness and glory, is vouchsafed only to those honourable ones who are included in the Ummati Muhammadiyya and are the servants of the Holy Prophet, the followers of all other religions are completely deprived of this perfect light which carries the good news of the nearness to God, and of acceptance by him and of his pleasure. Therefore, this holy revelation not only proves its own existence, but also proves that the Muslims alone are the people who are acceptable to God, and who base themselves on the true faith, and that all other people worship falsehood are misguided, and are in danger of incurring the wrath of God. Ignorant people, on hearing this from me, will say all sorts of things and will shake their heads in denial, or will ridicule me like the foolish and the mischievous. They should know, however, that the denial and ridicule are not the ways of those who are noble-minded and are seekers after truth, but are the ways of those who are wicked by nature, are mischief-makers, and who have nothing to do with God or rectitude. There are thousands of things in the world which possess qualities that cannot be understood by reason, and which man can only understand by experience. Therefore, it is usually the way of the all-wise people that when some quality of a certain thing is manifested by repeated experiments, they no longer doubt its existence. He who persists in denial after repeated experiments is an absolute fool. For instance, Turbud, footnote, a tropical plant known by the genus species Operculiona terpethum, end footnote, is cathartic, and a magnet has the power of attraction, though no reason can be established as to why they possess these qualities. However, since repeated experiments reveal that they definitely have these qualities, every wise person has to admit on the basis of empirical evidence, even if no rational argument has been established, that certainly Turbud is cathartic, and that a magnet has the power to attract. If anyone should deny this on the premise that he cannot find any rational argument for it, such a person would be condemned as mad and insane by every wise person. Here I submit to the Brahmins and other opponents that whatever I have stated concerning revelation, namely that even now it is the experience of perfect individuals among the Ummati Muhammadiyya, is confined only to them, and is not to be found amongst all others at all, is not a statement without proof. Rather, it can be demonstrated to every seeker after truth through empirical testing and observation, like thousands of other truths which are being discovered by these means. If anyone should truly be a seeker after truth, it would be my responsibility to prove this statement. The condition is that someone from among the Brahmins or other deniers of Islam should publish a written pledge that in case of proof, he would accept Islam and should come to me with sincerity and in good faith. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِالْمُفْسِدِينَ Footnote. But if they turn away, then remember that Allah knows the mischief makers well. Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 64. End footnote. Some people put forward the objection that considering that there are several groups in the world who claim to reveal the unseen and are able to do so occasionally, and at times their statements are borne out to have an element of truth, as for instance astrologers, physicians, physiognomists, soothsayers, fortune tellers, people predicting the future based on letters and numbers, augurs, and certain types of maniacs, and that more recently some people have been able to reveal some matters through mesmerism. How can then the revealing of the matters relating to the unseen be a conclusive proof of the origin of the revelation from Allah? In reply to this, it should be understood that all of the above-mentioned groups speak from conjecture, guesswork, and indeed from superstition. They clearly possess no certain or definite knowledge, nor do they claim to have such knowledge. Their prophecies that certain things will happen are based merely on signs and dubious conjectures, which are far removed from certainty, nor are they free from the possibility of mystification, suspicion, and error. Rather, most of their predictions are proven absolutely contrary to facts, baseless, and utterly false. On account of their evident falsehood and lack of fulfillment, those predictions are found lacking in honour and acceptance, triumph and success. Those who indulge in those predictions are generally seen to be poverty-stricken, unfortunate, ill-fated, dishonourable, cowardly, mean, unsuccessful, and miserable. They certainly cannot influence the matters relating to the unseen to come into accord with their predictions. Rather, in their own circumstances, they exhibit the signs of the wrath of God, and they possess no blessing or honour or help from God. But the prophets and awliya do not disclose the matters of the unseen merely like the astrologers. Rather, with the complete grace and immense mercy of God that always accompanies them, they make such sublime prophecies that the light of acceptance and honour shines in them like the sun, and which consist of good news of honour and divine help, and not of that of misfortune and adversity. Footnote. Please see sub-footnote number 1 on pages 195 to 234. In the original Urdu edition of Brahin Ahmadiyya, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam presented this sub-footnote along with footnote number 11. For the ease of English readers, Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih V, Ayyuhadullah Ta'ala bin Nasr al-Aziz, decided that it should be presented as its own section after footnote number 11. End footnote. Consider the prophecies of the Holy Quran, and you will find that they are not at all like the predictions of the helpless people, such as astrologers. Rather, they surge with manifest and overwhelming signs of majesty and glory. All its prophecies are characterized by the same pattern, that it declares its own honor and the disgrace of its enemies, its own glory and the humiliation of its enemies, its own success and the failure of its enemies, its own victories and the defeat of its enemies, and its own perpetual prosperity and the ruin of its enemies. Can any astrologer make such prophecies, or can they be put forward by a fortune teller or mesmerizer? Certainly not. To always proclaim one's own good and the decline and downfall of the opponent, and to refute whatever the opponent says, and to promise the fulfillment of that which is in one's own favor, is surely the work of God, and far beyond the work of man. In order to make this subject clearly understood, I present below as a sample some verses of the Holy Quran, which comprise matters relating to the unseen, along with their translation. Wise people who are just and God-fearing should read them with full attention, and consider them in their entirety, and decide for themselves in all honesty if anyone except God the Omnipotent can make such prophecies about matters relating to the unseen. These verses, with their brief translation, are as followed. Footnote. In the original Urdu edition of Brahin Ahmadiyya, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam presented these references and their translations side by side. However, for the ease of English readers, Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih V, Ayyuhadullah Ta'ala bin Nasr al-Aziz, decided that each reference should be followed by its translation and commentary. End footnote. Alif Lam Ra. Tilka ayat al-kitab al-hakim akana lin-nasi ajaban. أن أوحينا إلى رجل منهم أن أنذر الناس وبشر الذين آمنوا أن لهم قدما صدق عند ربهم قال الكافرين إن هذا لساحر مبين. Footnote. Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 2 to 3. End footnote. These are the verses of the book that encompass the knowledge of wisdom. Is it a matter of wonder for men that we have sent this revelation to a man from among them, saying that you should warn mankind and give glad tidings to those who believe that they have a true rank of honour with their Lord? The disbelievers said regarding this messenger that surely he is a manifest sorcerer. وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرُ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. Footnote. Surah Al-Hijr, chapter 15, verse 7, end footnote. And they addressed the messenger and said, O you to whom this exhortation has been sent down, you are surely a madman.
كَذَلِكَ مَا أَتَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا قَالُوا سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونٌ أَتَوَاسَوْا بِهِ بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ طَاغُونَ.
Footnote. Surah Al-Dhariyat, chapter 51, verse 53 to 54, end footnote. Likewise there came no messenger to those before them whom they did not call a sorcerer or a madman. Have they made it a legacy to one another? Nay, they are all a rebellious people.
فَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنٍ وَلَا مَجْنُونَ.
Footnote. Surah At-Tur, chapter 52, verse 30, end footnote. So you should go on reminding them of the path of truth. By the grace of God you are neither a soothsayer, nor are you bewitched by a jinn, nor are you a madman.
قُلْ لَعِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ زَهِيرًا.
Footnote. Surah Bani Israel, chapter 17, verse 89, end footnote. Tell them that if all the jinn and men were to join hands to produce another book like the Qur'an, they would never be able to produce the like thereof, even if they helped one another.
وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِّثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ.
Footnote. Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 24 to 25, end footnote. And if you are in any kind of doubt about the word that we have sent down to our servant, meaning that if you think he has forged it himself, or learnt it from the jinn, or that it is some kind of sorcery or form of poetry, or if you have any other doubts about it, then if you are truthful, produce a surah like it, and call upon your helpers, or those whom you worship. But if you do it not, and bear in mind that never shall you do it, then fear the fire, whose fuel is men and stones, which has been prepared for the disbelievers.
وَأَسَرُّ النَّجْوَىٰ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا هَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ أَفَتَأْتُونَ السِّحْرَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ قَالَ رَبِّي يَعْلَمُ الْقَوْلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ بَلْ قَالُوا أَدْغَاثُ أَهْلَامٍ بَلْ افْتَرَاهُ بَلْ هُوَ شَاعِرٌ فَلْيَأْتِنَا بِآيَةٍ كَمَا أُرْسِلَ الْأَوَّلُونَ.
Footnote. Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 4 to 6, end footnote. And the disbelievers say to one another in secret, what is it about this man who claims to be a messenger that makes him better? He is only a human being like you. Will you then willingly fall into the trap of sorcery? The Prophet said that my Lord knows everything, whether it is in the heavens or in the earth, and he is the being who is all-hearing and all-knowing, from whom nothing can be hidden. But the disbelievers do not listen to the messenger at all. Instead, they say of the Quran that these are but confused dreams. They even say that he has forged it. Moreover, they say he is but a poet. If he indeed be true, let him then bring us a sign, such as former prophets were sent with.
خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ سَأُورِكُمْ وَآيَاتِي فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ.
Footnote. Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 38, end footnote. Man is by nature made of haste. Soon will I show you my signs, but ask me not to hasten.
سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنْهُ الْحَقِّ.
Footnote. Surah Ha Mim As-Sajda, chapter 41, verse 54, end footnote. Soon will we show them our signs in all corners of the inhabited world, and all our signs shall appear among themselves until the truth becomes manifest to them.
أَمْ يَقُولُونَ بِهِ جِنَّةِ بَلَ جَاءَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ.
Footnote. Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 71, end footnote. Do they say that he is insane? Nay, the truth is that God has sent them the truth, and they are averse to accepting the truth.
ولو اتبع الحق أهواءهم لفسدت السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن بل أتيناهم بذكرهم فهم عن ذكرهم المعرضون. Footnote, Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 72, end footnote. And if God had followed their desires, the heavens and the earth, and whosoever is therein would have been corrupted. Indeed, we have brought them the guidance they needed, yet they remain aloof from the very guidance that they need. هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ عَلَى مَنْ تَنَزَّلُ الشَّيَاطِينُ تَنَزَّلُ عَلَى كُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمِ يُلْقُونَ السَّمْعَ وَأَكْثَرُهُمَ كَاذِبُونَ وَالشُّعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. Footnote, Surah Ashura, chapter 26, verse 222-227, end footnote. Shall I inform you of the people on whom the jinn descend? They descend on liars and sinners, and most of whose divinations are false. And as for the poets, it is the erring ones who follow them. Do you not see how the poets wander into every wilderness in pursuit of rhyme and meter? That is, they do not adhere to any heavenly truth, and they say what they practice not.
وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ زَلَمُوا أَيَّمٌ قَلِبِيًّا قَلِبُونَ. Footnote, Surah Ashura, chapter 26, verse 228, end footnote. And the wrongdoers will soon know of their place of return.
وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ.
Footnote, Surah Bani Israel, chapter 17, verse 106, end footnote. And we sent down the Qur'an to fulfill the true need, and it has come down with the truth.
وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٌ.
Footnote, Surah Ha Mim As-Sajda, chapter 41, verse 42-43, end footnote. It is the book that shall forever remain free from any tinge of falsehood. No kind of falsehood could stand up to it in the past, nor shall it do so in the future. That is, its perfect verities, which are entirely unadulterated by falsehood, will continue to convict and silence all worshippers of falsehood who came before it, or who will come after it, and no opposing view will ever be able to stand before it.
وَمَنْ لَا يُحِبْ دَعِيَ اللَّهِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُعْجِزٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Ahqaf, chapter 46, verse 33, end footnote. And whosoever refuses to accept it will not be able to stop Allah from manifesting his power to prevail, and he shall have no protector besides God.
إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِزُونَ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Hijr, chapter 15, verse 10, end footnote. We ourselves have sent down this word, and we ourselves will always be its guardian.
قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَمَا يُدْدِعُ الْبَاطِلُ وَمَا يُعِيدُ.
Footnote, Surah Saba, chapter 34, verse 50, end footnote. Tell them that the truth has come, and falsehood shall neither grow any new branches that have not already been repudiated by the Qur'an, nor shall it return to its original state.
وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَلِغَوْا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغَلِبُونَ.
Footnote, Surah Ha Mim As-Sajda, chapter 41, verse 27. And the disbelievers said, listen not to this Qur'an, but when it is recited to you, make noise with your idle talk, so that you may have the upper hand.
وَقَالَ الطَّائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ آمِنُوا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَجْهَ النَّهَارِ وَاكْفُرُوا آخِرَهُ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 73, end footnote. And some Jews and Christians said, what you should do is believe in the early part of the day and disbelieve in the divine origin of Islam in the latter part thereof, in the evening, so that people may thus be dissuaded from turning to Islam. فَلَنُذِيقَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَسْوَى الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Footnote, Surah Ha-Mim Sajda, chapter 41, verse 28, end footnote. So we will make them taste a severe punishment, just as their deeds are exceedingly evil, so will they be requited. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِالْأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَيَعْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِحَ الْكَافِرُونَ هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِحَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Footnote, Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 32 to 33, end footnote. They desire to extinguish the light of Allah with the breath of their mouths, but God will not stop in his task until he has perfected this light. Though the disbelievers may dislike it, it is God, the omnipotent and the glorious, who has sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, so that he may make it prevail over every other religion of the world, even though the polytheists may loathe it. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَتُغْلَبُونَ وَتُحْشَرُونَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. Footnote, Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 13. End footnote. Say to the disbelievers, you shall soon be overcome and shall finally be gathered unto hell. إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَآتِ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Footnote, Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 135. End footnote. Surely that which you are promised, the prestigious spread of Islam in the world and the debasement of those who will try to stop it, shall soon come to pass, and you shall not be able to stop it. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Footnote, Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 65. End footnote. The Jews said, the hand of Allah is tied up. That is, everything happens through human schemes, and God is incapable of manifesting his omnipotent powers. Therefore, God has forever tied up the hands of the Jews, so that if their views and plans have any worth, let them try to capture the governments and kingdoms of the world. ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ أَيْمَا ثُقِلُوا إِلَّا بِحَبْلٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَحَبْلٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَسْكَنَةُ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. Footnote, Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 113, end footnote. They have been smitten with abasement, that is, wherever they dwell, they shall do so in ignominy and servitude, and it has been destined for them that they shall not live honourably in any land except in subjection to other nations. Weakness, vulnerability, and wretchedness shall always accompany them, for they have been rejecting the signs of God and killing his prophets unjustly. That is because they have exceeded all limits in disobedience and transgression. Inna lanansuru rusulana walladhina amanu fil hayati ad-dunya wa yawma yaqumul ashhad. Footnote, Surah Al-Mu'min, chapter 40, verse 52, end footnote. It is our law of nature that we help our messengers and the believers, both in the present life and the hereafter. كَذَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرَسُولِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Footnote, Surah Al-Mujadalah, chapter 58, verse 22, end footnote. God has decreed only I and my messengers shall prevail. Allah is all-powerful and the mighty. وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِنَ دُونِهِ. Footnote, Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 37, end footnote. The disbelievers frighten you with things beside God.
قُلْ اِدْعُوا شُرَكَاءَكُمْ ثُمَّ كِيدُونِ فَلَا تُنْزِرُونِ إِنَّ وَلِيَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابَ وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ
Footnote. Surah Al-Araf, chapter 7, verse 196 to 197. End footnote. Say to them, seek help from your deities, whom you associate with God, to try to vanquish me, and put together all your plans to try to make me fail in my mission, and give me no respite. My helper is God, who has sent down his book, and it is his natural law that he himself undertakes the endeavours of the righteous, and helps protect their missions.
وَاسْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا
Footnote. Surah At-Tur, chapter 52, verse 49, end footnote. So be patient with regard to the judgment of your God and patiently wait for the fulfillment of his promises. You are before our eyes.
وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ
Footnote. Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 68, end footnote. God will protect you from the evil designs of those who are waiting for an opportune moment to kill you.
وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ رُسُلًا إِلَى قَوْمِهِمْ فَجَاءُوهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
Footnote. Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, verse 48. And we sent several messengers before you to their own people, and they too brought clear signs. So at last we punished the culprits who had rejected these prophets. And from the beginning it is binding upon us to help the believers. That is, such has been God's eternal practice that his true prophets are not left to perish, and their followers do not split and disperse, rather they are granted help.
وَلَقَدْ اسْتُحْزِعَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَحْزِعُونَ قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ انْزُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ
Footnote. Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. End footnote. And the messengers before you also have been ridiculed and mocked, but the mockers have always been punished for their mockery. Say to them, go about in the earth and see the end of those who had been rejecting the prophets of God.
وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُنَزِّلَ آيَةً وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ
Footnote. Surah Al-An'am, Chapter 6, verse 38, end footnote. And the disbelievers say, why has not a sign been sent down to him from his Lord? Say, God has the power to send down the signs, but most people do not know.
قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِّن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسُكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْدَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْدٍ أُنْظُرْ كَيْفُ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَفَقِهُونَ
Footnote. Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 66, end footnote. Say, to show you the sign, he has the power to send chastisement upon you from above you, or make his punishment appear from under your feet, or make you taste punishment through the battles with the believers. Behold how we expound the signs in various ways that they may understand.
وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ
Footnote. Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 49 to 50. End footnote. And the disbelievers say, if you are truthful, tell us when will this promise be fulfilled? Say, I have no power over any benefit or harm, even for myself, and only that which God wills shall come about. For every people there is an appointed term, When their term comes, they cannot remain behind it a single moment, nor can they get ahead of it a single moment.
قُلْ يَا قَوْمِ اعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنِّي عَامِلٌ فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ يَأْتِيهِ عَذَابٌ يُخْزِيهِ وَيَحِلُّ عَلَيْهِ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ.
Footnote: Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 40-41. End footnote. Say, O my people, act as best you can. I too am acting. Soon shall you know who it is unto whom comes a punishment in this world that will disgrace him, and on whom descends an abiding punishment that is the punishment of the hereafter.
الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ زِدْنَاهُمْ عَذَابًا فَوْقَ الْعَذَابِ بِمَا كَانُوا يُفْسِدُونَ.
Footnote: Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 89. End footnote. As for those who disbelieve and forbid people from the way of God, we will punish them in this very world, in addition to the hereafter, and they shall be requited for their mischief.
وَلَا يَحْزُنَكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ.
Footnote: Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 177, end footnote. And let not the malice of the disbelievers grieve you. They will not be able to harm God's religion in any way, and Allah has prepared for them a great chastisement.
كَذَّبَ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ.
Footnote: Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 53. End footnote. Their case is like the case of the people of Pharaoh and the disbelievers before them, that when they chose to disbelieve in the signs of Allah, then Allah punished them for their sins. Surely Allah is all-powerful and severe in punishing.
فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.
Footnote: Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 138. And Allah is surely sufficient for you to counter their mischief, for He is all-hearing, all-knowing.
وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَن نُرِيَكَ مَا نَعِدُهُمْ لَقَادِرُونَ.
Footnote: Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 96. End footnote. And we have the power to show you that which we promise about them.
وَيَقُولُونَ لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِ فَقُلْ إِنَّمَا الْغَيْبُ لِلَّهِ فَانْتَظِرُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُم مِّنَ الْمُنْتَظِرِينَ.
Footnote: Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 21. End footnote. And they say, why has not a sign in support of the faith been sent down to him from his Lord? So say to them, the knowledge of the unseen belongs only to Allah. So wait for the sign. I am with you among those who wait.
وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ سَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ فَتَعْرِفُونَهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ.
Footnote: Surah An-Naml, chapter 27, verse 94. End footnote. And say, Allah possesses all the perfect attributes. He will soon show you His signs, such signs that you will recognize them. And God is not unaware of what you do.
إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ رَسُولًا شَاهِدًا عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ رَسُولًا فَعَسَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُ أَخَذًا وَبِيلًا فَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ إِن كَفَرْتُمْ.
Footnote: Surah Al-Muzammil, chapter 73, verse 16-18. End footnote. We have sent to you a messenger, like the one who had been sent to Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh disobeyed that messenger, we apprehended him in a way that ended in his total ruin. That is to say, as a consequence of this apprehension, the Pharaoh was annihilated. How then can you, who are like the Pharaoh, expect to escape our reckoning while you continue to disobey?
وكفاركم خير من أولئكما أم لكم براءة في الزبر أم يقولون نحن جميع منتصر سيحزم الجميع ويولون دبر. Footnote, Surah Al-Qamar, chapter 54, verse 44 to 46. End footnote. Are your disbelievers any better than the people of Pharaoh, or have the divine scriptures exempted or made you immune from punishment and reckoning? Do they say we are a powerful host that is strong and victorious? All these hosts shall soon be rooted and will turn their backs in flight. ولا يزال الذين كفروا تصيبهم بما صنعوا قارعة أو تحل قريبا من دارهم حتى يأتي وعد الله إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد. Footnote, Surah Ar-Ra'd, chapter 13, verse 32. And as for those who disbelieve, grief of various kinds will continue to befall them until the time promised by God arrives. Allah shall not fail in His promise.
وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُرُونَ وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى حِينَ وَأَبْصِرْهُمْ فَسَوْفَ يُبْصِرُونَ.
Footnote, Surah As-Saffat, chapters 37, verse 172 to 176, end footnote. And our word has gone forth in respect of the messengers, that it is certainly they who shall be granted help and victory for all times to come, and that it is our host that would certainly be victorious. So turn away from them until the time that their promise is fulfilled, and show them the way, for they will soon see for themselves.
وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِن نَبَاعِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ.
Footnote, Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 35, end footnote. And messengers who came before you were also rejected, yet they endured patiently despite rejection. They were persecuted over a long period of time until our help came to them. And there have already come to you the tidings of past messengers.
وَإِذَا لَمْ تَأْتِهِمْ بِآيَةٍ قَالُوا لَوْ لَجْتَبَيْتَهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَتَّبِعُ مَا يُوحَى إِلَّا مِنْ رَبِّي هَذَا بَسَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ.
Footnote, Surah Ar-Araf, chapter 7, verse 204. End footnote. And on a day when you recite not unto them a verse, they say, why have you not fabricated any verse today? Say, I follow only the word which is revealed to me from my Lord. It is not for me to forge it on my own, nor are his words such that can be forged by man. These are evident proofs from my Lord, that is to say, they are in themselves manifest proof of stemming from God, and guidance and mercy for the believers.
وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهَ أَن يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 8 to 9, end footnote. God is about to manifest His will to establish the truth by His word, and to uproot the false creed of the disbelievers, so that He might establish the truth of the true religion and expose the falsehood of the false religions, though the culprits might dislike it.
وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 31, end footnote. And remember the time when the disbelievers plotted against you and devised that they might imprison or kill you or expel you.
And they planned, and Allah also planned, and Allah is the best of planners. وَقَدْ مَقَرُوا مَقَرَهُمَ وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَقَرَهُمَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَقَرَهُمَ لَتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالُ فَلَا تَحَسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْلِفَ وَعَدِهِ رُسُولَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. Footnote. Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse 47 to 48. End footnote. They plan to the best of their ability, but all their designs are under the control of God. And even though their designs be such as to make the mountains move, do not think that God will fail to keep his promises to his messengers. God is the mighty Lord of retribution. لَرَادُكَ إِلَى مَعَدْ. Footnote. Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 86. He will bring you back to the place from which you were expelled, that is Mecca, from where the disbelievers had expelled the Holy Prophet. Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. Remember, the help of Allah is very near.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu hala adullukum ala tijaratin tunajikum min adhabin alimin tu'minuna billahi wa rasulihi wa tujahiduna fi sabilillahi bil amwalikum wa anfusikum dhalikum khayrun lakum in kuntum ta'lamuna yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa yadkhilukum jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anharu wa masakin tayyibatan fi jannati 'adnin dhalika al-fawzul 'azimu wa ukhra tuhibbunaha nasrun min Allahi wa fathun qareeb.
Footnote. Surah As-Saff, chapter 61, verse 11 to 14. End footnote. O ye who believe, shall I point out to you a bargain that will save you from a painful punishment? Believe in Allah and His Messenger, and strive in the cause of Allah with your wealth and your persons, as that is better for you. For doing so, God will forgive you for your sins, and make you enter the gardens beneath which streams flow, and will grant you palaces which are in the pure gardens of eternity. This is the supreme triumph for man, and another is that which you desire in this very world. Help from Allah and a near victory.
وَلَا تَحِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ.
Footnote. Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 140, end footnote. Slacken not nor grieve, and you shall certainly prevail in the end if you remain steadfast in faith.
وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ.
Footnote. Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 187, end footnote. And you shall surely hear many hurtful things from the Jews and Christians and from the idolaters.
وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا.
Footnote. Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 121. End footnote. But if you will show fortitude and not indulge in any type of impatience and anxiety, their designs will not harm you at all.
وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا السَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلِفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمَنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا.
Footnote. Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 56, end footnote. Allah has promised some of those among you who are righteous and are true believers that He will make them the successors of His beloved Prophet, as He did in the case of those who were before them, and that He will surely strengthen and establish the religion that He has chosen for them, that is Islam, in the earth, and that He will surely give them in exchange security and peace after their fear.
This means that at the time of the demise of Hazrat Khatam al-Anbiya, the seal of the prophets, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the believers shall be in fear lest their religion should perish. But God Almighty, in this state of fear and anxiety, by establishing Khilafat al-Haqqa, the true succession, will alleviate their fear regarding the ruin of faith and free them from grief and grant them peace. They will worship me only, and they will not associate anything with me. This is the apparent good news, but as is divine practice in relation to Quranic verses, there is also a hidden meaning to it. The above verses in their deeper meanings point to the Khilafat al-Ruhani, the spiritual succession. This means that in every state of fear, whereby the love of Allah has disappeared from people's hearts, false creeds have spread all around, and people are infatuated with the world, and it is feared that the faith will be lost. At such times, God will always continue to raise spiritual khulafa, successors, at whose hands the faith shall be granted spiritual support and triumph, and truth shall be then be honoured, and falsehood shall be brought to disgrace. Thus faith may always return to its original bloom, and the believers may be granted security from the fear of the spreading of misguidedness and the loss of faith. وَدَّتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يُضِلُّونَكُمْ وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Footnote. Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 70. End footnote. After this, he says that a section from the Christians and the Jews would fain lead you astray one way or the other. How can they lead you astray when they are leading their own selves astray, but they are not aware of their mistake? وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّهُمْ بِمَفَازَةٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Footnote. Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 189. End footnote. They love to be praised for that which they have not done, so think not that they will escape punishment. A grievous chastisement is prescribed for them. وَمَنْ أَزَلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرِ فِيهِ حَسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا أُولَئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يُدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Footnote. Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 115, end footnote. And who is more unjust than he who prohibits the remembrance of Allah in Allah's mosques and strives to ruin and destroy them? Here a reference is made to the wickedness and mischievous conduct of the Christians who did not give due respect to Bayt al-Muqaddas and destroyed it in their fervent arrogance. After this verse, he says that for the Christians who showed such arrogance, there is disgrace in this world and a great punishment in the hereafter. وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ السَّالِحُونَ. Footnote. Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 106. End footnote. And already we have written in the Psalms of David, after the exhortation that only the righteous shall inherit the land, that is, the land of Syria. Psalms 37. Footnote. The term land of Syria refers to the region consisting of the eastern Mediterranean, littoral between Anatolia and Egypt, called Levant. Nowadays it consists of the islands of Cyprus, Israel, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, and part of southern Turkey, the former Aleppo Vilayet. End footnote. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Footnote. Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 27. End footnote. Say, O Allah the Great, O Lord of Sovereignty, you give sovereignty to whomsoever you please. You take sovereignty from whomsoever you please. You exalt whomsoever you please, and you abase whom you will. Every good that man seeks is in your hand. You have power over everything. قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما.
Footnote, Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 78, end footnote. Say to the disbelievers, if you do not worship God, why would he care for you? Yet instead of obedience and worship, you have chosen to reject. Hence the punishment of this is about to befall you.
وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُعَجِزِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخَزِ الْكَافِرِينَ.
Footnote, Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 2. End footnote. Know for certain that you cannot frustrate the designs of God and that he shall humiliate you.
أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 40, end footnote. Help has been ordained for the wronged, against whom you make unjustified wars and plots of killings, and God indeed has power to help them.
هو الذي نبعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي دَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Jumu'ah, chapter 22, verse 3-4. End footnote. The benevolent and merciful God has raised among the unlettered people a perfect messenger from among themselves, who, despite being unlettered, recites unto them the God's verses and purifies them and teaches them the book and wisdom, although they had been steeped in manifest misguidance before the advent of this prophet. Among them are also people from other nations whose entry into Islam has been eternally destined, but they have not yet joined the Muslims. And God is the mighty, the wise, whose actions are not devoid of wisdom. This means that those people from other countries will enter Islam when the time arrives that God has decreed for them in his perfect wisdom.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu man yartadda minkum an deenihi fasawfa ya'ti Allahu biqawmin yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunah. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 55, end footnote. O ye believers, if anyone from among you turns away from the religion of Islam, then in your place God will soon bring a people whom he will love, and they will love him. They will be humble towards believers, hard and firm against disbelievers. That is, it is the promise of God that it will always be the case that if anyone of defective understanding turns back from religion of Islam, then by turning his back the strength of faith will not decrease a bit. Rather, in his place God will cause many more devoted souls to enter the fold of Islam, who will believe sincerely in him and will love God and be loved by him.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَةً ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 37, end footnote. And all the disbelievers who spend their wealth to hinder and stop the progress of the religion of Islam will surely continue to spend it to the best of their ability, but ultimately it shall become a source of anguish and regret for them, and then shall they be overcome.
وَعَدَكُمُ اللَّهُ مَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً تَأْخُذُونَهَا فَعَجَلَّ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ وَكَفَّ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ عَنْكُمْ وَلَتَكُونَ آيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Fath, chapter 48, verse 21, end footnote. God has promised you spoils of many a country. The first of them occurred when he gave you the fortresses of the Jews, with all their wealth and resources, and provided you security from the mischief of the opponent, so that it may be a sign for the believers.
وَأَخْرَى لَمْ تَقَدِّرُوا عَلَيْهَا قَدْ أَحَاطَ اللَّهُ بِهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا.
Surah Al-Fath,
chapter 48, verse 22, end footnote. And God shall also grant you other kingdoms, such as Persia and Rome. You do not have the power to overcome them, but the powers of God have encompassed them, and God has power over all things. The prophecies cited so far relate to apparent glad tidings. Then indicating the hidden glad tidings, he says after this, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفُرُوا وَظَلَمُوا لَمْ يَكُنِ اللَّهُ لِيَغَفِرَ لَهُمْ وَلَا لِيَهْدِيَهُمْ طَرِيقًا إِلَّا طَرِيقًا جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Footnote, Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 169 to verse 170, end footnote. The disbelievers and idolaters who die in their state of denial and idolatry will not be forgiven, nor will God show them the path of his cognition while they are in disbelief, but he will show the way to hell, wherein they shall abide forever.
وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصِّدِّيقُونَ وَشُهَدَاءُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ وَنُورُهُمْ.
Footnote, Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57, verse 20. As for those who believe in God and his messengers, they are the ones who are truthful in the sight of God Allah, and they will have the reward and the light.
لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ وَهُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ.
Footnote, Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 65, end footnote. They will be given glad tidings in this very life, that is, they will receive from God the light of revelation and the glad tidings in which there will be their betterment, admiration, and extolment, and God will manifest the light of their truth. All that God has promised shall be fulfilled. See sub-footnote number 1 to see how this prophecy is also being fulfilled. There will be no kind of change in them. This is the great fortune that is bestowed upon those who believe in the Holy Prophet Muhammad Mustafa, the Chosen One, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَالْمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينًا.
Footnote, Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 57 to 58, end footnote. God and all his angels invoke blessings on this noble prophet. O believers, you should also invoke blessings on him and salute him with the salutation of peace, with deep love and devotion. Allah's curse in this world and the hereafter is on those who cause displeasure to Allah and his messenger. In this world, the curse is that they will be deprived of spiritual blessings, and in the hereafter they will be subjected to the punishment of hellfire, humiliated and disgraced. In the verses cited above, God Almighty has promised outstanding victory by the perfect glory of his divinity to a humble, weak, poor, powerless, unlettered, unlearned, unaware, and untrained man over the whole world. All opponents, all enemies, all renegades, all the rich and all powerful figures, all kings, all sages, all philosophers, and all people belonging to every religion. Can any honest person or seeker after truth entertain any doubt regarding all these promises that were fulfilled in their time and continue to be fulfilled, that they are the work of a human being? Think about it. A poor, lonely, and humble person announced the spread of his faith and the establishment of his religion at a time when he had nothing with him except a few devotees without any means, and all the Muslims could fit in one small room and their names could be counted on one's fingers, and a handful of villagers could have done away with them. The enemies that they faced were the kings and rulers of the world, and the nations that they had to deal with were made up of tens of millions who were unanimous in their determination to destroy and annihilate them. But now look around the entire globe at how God has spread the same few weak people in the world, and how he bestowed on them power, wealth, and kingdom, and how they were bestowed the crowns and thrones that had been occupied by others for thousands of years. There was a time when the numbers of this community did not exceed an average household, and now they are counted in millions. God Almighty has said that he would himself safeguard his word. Now see for yourself, is it not true that the very teaching that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, conveyed from God Almighty through his word, is still safeguarded in his word? And ever since the beginning, there have always been hundreds of thousands of people who have committed the Holy Quran to memory. God has said that no one would be able to match his book in wisdom, enlightenment, eloquence, lucidity, and comprehensive understanding of the divine verities, and in setting forth religious arguments. You can see that no one could ever face this challenge, and if there is anyone who disagrees, let him come forward now and produce its match, and let him produce from any other book the equal of its verities, fine points, and wonders of the Holy Quran, which are beyond the scope of human powers, that I have set forth in this book along with the announcement of a reward of 10,000 rupees. So long as he fails to do so, he would remain convicted by the plain verdict of God. God had promised that he would take the land of Syria. Footnote. See footnote on page 169. End footnote. Out of the possession of the Christians, and would bestow it upon the Muslims. Look now, and you will find the Muslims have continuously remained its inheritors. All these tidings are accompanied by power and might of divinity, and they are not merely like the predictions of the astrologers that there would be earthquakes, famines, assaults of nations against nations, epidemics, widespread loss of life, etc. By following the word of God and through its effects and blessings, those who obey the Holy Quran and wholeheartedly believe in God's beloved Prophet, love him and consider him better and holier and more perfect and more excellent and superior than the whole of creation, all prophets, all messengers, all holy ones, and all that has ever existed or shall exist, they continue to partake of these bounties, and they drink and continue to drink copiously, pleasantly and deliciously, the same drink that was given to Musa, Moses, and Isa, Jesus, to drink. They are illuminated with the lights of Israel, and enjoy the blessings of the prophets who were descendants of Yaqub, Jacob. Subhanallah, holy is Allah, again Subhanallah. How high is the station of Hazrat Khatam al-Anbiya, the seal of the prophets, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Glory be to Allah. How magnificent is the light that his modest servants, lowest followers, and humblest helpers attain their above-mentioned ranks. O Allah, send down your blessings on your prophet and your beloved, the chief of the prophets, the best of messengers, more exalted than all the messengers, and the seal of the prophets, Muhammad and his progeny and his companions, and bestow your bounties and peace upon them. The Christian priests, as well as the Pundits, the Brahmus, Aryas, and other opponents of our times, need not feel bewildered and ask where are the blessings and the heavenly light of which the blessed followers of Hazrat Khatam al-Anbiya, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, share with Musa and Isa, and where is the heritage of the light from which all other people and followers of other nations and religions are deprived and debarred. To set this doubt at rest, I have stated several times in this very footnote that I am responsible for providing such a religious proof to any seeker after truth who is prepared to readily enter the fold of Islam, after having witnessed the excellences peculiar to Islam. In the sub-footnote number 1, under the heading The Second Type, I have clearly referred to the same. In fact, in the above-mentioned footnote, I have also briefly cited from the same divine promises and glad tidings that are beyond human power to demonstrate how God Almighty manifests his good divine powers, graces, and blessings to Muslims. So if any Christian priest or any Pundit or Brahmo denies it on account of his inner darkness, or if any Arya or a follower of another faith is truly and sincerely a seeker after God Almighty, it is incumbent upon him that, like a true seeker, he should discard all pride, arrogance, hypocrisy, worldliness, obstinacy, and contention, and seeking only the truth and wishing only for it, should come straight to me like a poor, humble, and submissive person, and should then be patient, steadfast, obedient, and sincere like the righteous, so that by God's will he might arrive at his objective. If even now anyone turns away, he becomes witness to his own lack of faith. When some people who lack insight see that the prophets of God and his messengers also faced hardships,
They end up raising the objection that if the prophets were supported by the divine authority, which is understood to be the hallmark of revealed prophecies, then why did they undergo hardships and why did they suffer calamities more than others? However, this is a baseless objection that results entirely from their lack of reflection. The prophecies given in Revelation signifying the power of God are a matter quite different from the suffering that the prophets undergo, and that in itself comprises diverse types of wisdom. When the truth dawns upon you, you would know that those calamities are not real calamities, but are magnificent bounties that are bestowed only on those whom God grants his grace and munificence. These bounties are such that they benefit the prophets and the whole world. The fact of the matter is that the prophets and awliya, friends of Allah, are raised so that people should follow them in all their good qualities, and all seekers after truth should tread the same path of steadfastness along which God has made them steadfast. It is obvious that high moral qualities of someone are conclusively approved only when they are exercised on the proper occasion. It is only then that they affect the hearts. For instance, forgiveness is worthy of credit and praise only when one has the power to take revenge, and chastity is commendable only when he has the power to fulfill his carnal passions. God Almighty's design with regard to the prophets and awliya is that every type of their high moral quality should be manifested and should be clearly established. To fulfill this design, God Almighty divides their glorious lives into two parts. One part is passed in hardship and under calamities, in which they are tormented and persecuted in every way, so that those of their high moral qualities can be manifested which cannot be manifested except during severe hardship. If they were not subjected to severe hardship, how can it be affirmed that they are a people who are not disloyal to their Lord in the face of calamities, but rather they continue to march forward? They are grateful to the benevolent God that he chose them for his favours and considered them worthy that they should be persecuted in his cause. Therefore, God Almighty afflicts them with calamities in order to demonstrate their patience, their steadfastness, their courage, their perseverance, their loyalty, and their bravery to the world, thereby illustrating in them steadfastness has a higher status than a miracle. Because perfect steadfastness cannot be manifested in the absence of severe hardships, nor can the perfect degree of perseverance and steadfastness be shown except in the most trying circumstances. These calamities are in fact spiritual bounties for the prophets and awliya, through which their high morals, in which they are matchless and peerless, are manifested and their ranks are exalted in the hereafter. If they were not subjected to these hardships, they would not have attained these bounties, nor would their sterling qualities be demonstrated to the common people, and thus they would be regarded like other people and equal to them. And even if they had lived their short lives in comfort and luxury, they would still have to depart from this transitory world one day. In this way, their pleasantness would not have remained with them, and they would not have attained the lofty status in the hereafter, nor would their manliness, resolve, fidelity, and bravery have been universally acknowledged, which proved them to be distinguished with no match, incomparable without a peer, unique of the unique, hidden beyond hidden, where no one's imagination could reach, and so perfect and brave as if each of them were 1,000 lions in one body and 1,000 leopards in one frame, whose power and strength rose above everyone's imagination and reached the loftiest ranks of nearness of God. The second part of the lives of prophets and awliya is the one in which they enjoy the highest level in victory, prestige, and their wealth, so that they may be able to just demonstrate those essential high moral qualities that can be demonstrated only by one who enjoys victory, prestige, wealth, authority, sovereignty, and might. Possession of wealth and power is an essential condition to prove that someone possesses such high moral qualities as forgiving his tormentors, pardoning those who have offended him, loving his enemies, desiring the good of those who desire nothing but evil for him, not loving wealth, not allowing himself to become arrogant on account of his riches, not to be niggardly and tight-fisted, not to be generous and bountiful, not to use his wealth for satisfying baser passions, and not to exercise authority and governance as a tool of tyranny and aggression. These qualities are demonstrated only when a person possesses both wealth and authority, without passing through a time of trial and misfortune and also a time of prosperity and authority. These two types of high qualities cannot be manifested. That is why the perfect wisdom of the Almighty God demanded that prophets and awliya should be provided with both these types of conditions, which comprise thousands of bounties. The occurrence of these two conditions, however, does not follow the same order for all of them. Divine wisdom ordains in the case of some that the period of peace and comfort comes in the first part of their lives, followed by a period of hardship, while the life of others begins in tribulation and God's succour comes to their rescue in the end. In some, the two phases are subtle and not easily defined, while in others, they are clearly marked and evident. In this respect, the foremost is Hazrat Khatam al-Rasul, the seal of the messengers, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for both these conditions were experienced by him in their perfection and in such order that all the high moral qualities of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, were illuminated like the sun, and thus the meaning of إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Footnote: You do surely possess high moral excellences. Surah Al-Qalam, chapter 68, verse 5, was proved fully. End footnote. Was proved fully. What is more, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, having proved to be perfect in both types of moral qualities, also serves as proof of the moral qualities of all prophets, because he has testified to their prophethood, authenticated their scriptures, and has shown the world that they were indeed Allah's chosen people. This analysis also completely repels the objection that might possibly arise about the moral qualities of Masih, i.e. Jesus the Messiah, namely that the moral qualities of Hazrat Masih, peace be upon him, cannot be established to a perfect degree with respect to both of the above-mentioned types, rather that they cannot be established even with regard to one type. Because the Messiah showed patience under distress, the perfection of this quality would have been demonstrated only if the Messiah had obtained authority and power over his persecutors, and had forgiven his oppressors from the bottom of his heart, as did Hazrat Khatam al-Anbiya, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who obtained complete victory over the Meccans and others, and after virtually having his sword upon their throats, forgave them their crimes, and he punished only those few who had been condemned by a special decree of Allah the Almighty to undergo punishment. Besides these eternally accursed few, every sworn enemy was pardoned. And having achieved victory, he announced to them, "No blame shall lie on you this day." On account of this forgiveness of offences, which had appeared impossible in the estimation of his opponents, who, considering their own misdeeds, deemed themselves condemned to death in the hands of their avengers, thousands of people accepted Islam instantly. Thus, the sincere steadfastness of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, which he had demonstrated for a long period under their severe punishment, became illuminated in their eyes like the sun. As it is part of man's nature that the grandeur and greatness of patience is illustrated perfectly, only for the person who, after the time of persecution has been dispelled, forgives his persecutors after obtaining power to punish them. That is why the moral qualities of the Messiah in the matter of patience and meekness and endurance was not fully demonstrated, and it did not become clear whether his patience and meekness was by his choice or was under compulsion. Because the Messiah did not acquire power and authority so that it could be judged whether he would have forgiven his enemies or taken revenge upon them. In contrast, the good qualities of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, were demonstrated and put to test on hundreds of occasions, and their truth shone forth like the sun. The good qualities of kindness, large-heartedness, munificence, selflessness, manliness, bravery, chastity, contentment, and withdrawal from the world were demonstrated so clearly and brilliantly in the case of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that, let alone the Messiah, there was never a prophet before him who demonstrated them to such perfection. Because God Almighty opened for the Holy Prophet the doors to countless worldly treasures, he spent them all in the way of God and did not spend a penny on any kind of self-indulgence. He created no buildings and built no mansions. Rather, he spent the whole of his life in a small mud hut that had nothing to distinguish it from the huts of the poor. He repaid evil with kindness and helped his tormentors in their distress out of his own wealth. He usually slept on the floor, lived in a small hut, and had barley bread to eat, and at times nothing at all. He was granted abundant wealth of the world, but he did not soil his holy hands with it, and always preferred poverty to wealth and meekness to power. From the day of his advent to the day when he returned to his companion on high, he attached no importance to anything except to his benevolent God. Solely for the sake of God, he gave proof of his bravery, fidelity, and steadfastness on the battlefield against thousands of enemies when death appeared a certainty. Similarly, did the benevolent God cause all other moral excellences associated with large-heartedness, generosity, contentment, courage, bravery, and love of God to be manifested in the person of Hazrat Khatam al-Anbiya in such a manner as has never been displayed before, nor ever will. In the case of Hazrat Masih, peace be upon him, these moral qualities were not clearly established, for they can only be proved in a period of authority and riches, and the Masih did not find the period of authority and riches. Thus, in his case, both types of moral qualities remained hidden. Hence, the conditions were not present. However, this above-mentioned objection, which can be raised against the deficiency in the case of the Masih, has been repelled by the perfect example of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, inasmuch as his beneficent example perfects and completes the case of every prophet, and through him whatever had remained hidden or doubtful in the case of the Masih and other prophets shone forth brightly. Revelation and prophethood came to an end in that holy person in the sense that all excellences reached their climax in him. And this is Allah's grace. He bestows it upon whomsoever he pleases.